You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a Senior Economist here at CommBank. And today I'm joined by Joseph Capurso, our Head of International Economics. Joe, good to have you on.
It's great to be back, Belinda.
So last week was obviously a very big week in Australia with the release of the federal budget, but we're having another change of pace this week to another impending very big event for the world economy and financial markets as well, and that's the US presidential election. Now, time is ticking. In 3 weeks' time, we would probably normally have an answer as to who won, but this election is very different, which we'll get to in this podcast. Now, before we get on to delays and disputes about the US presidential election, what are the latest polls showing us?
Well, there are two groups of polls that we like to look at. The first one is simply the average of the national polls. And the national polls are showing that Vice President Joe Biden has a very large lead over President Trump. That lead has been in the order of 8 to 10 percentage points in the past few weeks. So that's a really big lead. Now, the second group of polls that we look at are the polls for the US swing states. Now, in Australia, we would call them marginal seats. Now, the swing states, there's around a dozen of them, and we look closely at those because these are the states that might change the way or change the party that they vote for this time compared to the previous election. For most states in the US, they will keep voting the same party election after election. But these dozen or so states can flip from one party to the next.
Yeah, you do hear a lot in the US about the blue states versus the red states, Democrats versus the Republicans. And I think a lot of them, you know, are well known. But the swing states can often be the smaller states but still have a lot of electoral college votes. What are the swing states that you're looking at the moment?
So, look, Florida has been really important in certain elections. For example, it determined the 2000 election that was under dispute between George Bush and Al Gore. In the end, it went to George Bush by just over 500 votes. So certainly watch Florida. The other swing states to watch for are Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Ohio.
And we'll talk a little bit about disputed elections in a minute, and obviously the hanging Chad debacle back in 2000 in Florida was another example of a disputed election. Now, I guess most of our listeners are based in Australia and may not understand or really fully appreciate, I guess, the process of electing the US president. Can you just run through some of those details? Because it is incredibly important when we start to talk about how this election may be different and how a disputed election could occur in the US.
Sure. So people might be surprised to hear that very few people in the US actually have a direct vote in the election of the president. But in the US, the president is elected by 538 electors. Collectively, these electors are known as the Electoral College. And these 538 private citizens are appointed by each of the 50 US states, and their job is to vote for president on their behalf of their state population. Now, each elector has only one vote for president, and you'll hear a lot about in the next few weeks, each state has different laws on how to hold the election and appoint a slate of electors loyal to the winning candidate.
So I guess that does raise the question of do these people have to vote the way the state voted? And I think that's where you get to your point about how each state has a different rule, and that just adds to the complication and complexity of this election, doesn't it?
That's right. So there are around half of the US states where there are laws that more or less compel electors to vote the way of their popular vote in their state. But the other half of the US states do not have these laws. And so these electors, these private citizens, are able to vote on their conscience rather than in line with the popular vote of their state. Now, when electors do this, they are called faithless electors. And it is fairly common to have a handful of faithless electors in each election. We had 7 faithless electors in the 2016 election, for example. 5 voted away from Hillary Clinton and 2 voted away from President Trump.
Now, COVID-19 has impacted on pretty much everything in 2020, and it's also going to have a big impact on the 2020 US presidential election. And I guess that comes down to how people will vote and whether or not we get more mail-in voting. I guess to understand how it may change this year, what would you say a conventional US election looks like, and how will this one be different?
So a conventional US election is that the overwhelming majority of people vote in person. Some people vote by mail or by absentee votes, which might mean going to your local county sheriff and voting in person there ahead of the election. But because of the pandemic and the need for social distancing, people may not want to line up on election day to vote. So there have been very large a number of requests from people to mail in their vote this year. Now, the reason that is important is because mail-in votes typically take a long time to count. They take a long time to count because they're on paper. So someone's got to open the envelope, they've got to check it's been filled out correctly, and then it's going to be double-checked. Whereas for a lot of people, in-person voting can happen electronically. You walk into a voting booth, you click a few buttons, and you've voted. So if there was a lot more people voting by mail, it could take a lot of extra time to count the votes this time round. And there's another twist to this story, and that is that surveys show that more Democrats are likely to vote by mail-in than Republicans, by roughly 2-1. So what that means is that as the votes are counted, you're likely to get more Democrat votes being counted over time as these mail-in votes are counted.
So what all this is telling me, and probably our listeners as well, is that we may not get a quick election result this time around. We may actually not find out the election result for quite some time.
That's right. We might find out in the afternoon Australian time, or potentially the next day. It's very difficult to know today just how many people will cast their ballot by mail. And one of the reasons it's hard to know is because just because someone asked for a mail-in vote doesn't mean they've actually sent in the mail-in vote. In America, unlike in Australia, voting is not compulsory.
And there's a lot of technicalities around when the mail-in votes can start to be counted, when they have to be received by. So that's just going to add to the delays as well, won't it?
That's right. Look, most of the mail-in votes, let's call it 85%, 5% of them will not be counted until election day. That's the rules.
So a lot of this is raising the possibility of a disputed election, and that's something we've been hearing about in media reports and also from the candidates as well. They've been asked this question directly. What are some scenarios for a disputed election, and do they favour one candidate in particular?
So, look, in the past, there's always disputes over individual ballots. So, for example, has the ballot been filled in correctly? We have that in Australia. We have that in many countries around the world. Now, given that there's been a large increase in mail-in votes this year, there is probably going to be disputes over mail-in votes. I can see disputes occurring, for example, over was the ballot filled in incorrectly? Was the envelope sent ahead of the election date? Also, debates over when what the postmark on the envelope is. So there's so much room for dispute here that I think that will really slow down the counting and therefore the announcement of who becomes president.
So all this is saying is that even though the opinion polls at the moment are in favour of Vice President Biden, the election result is not clear-cut given the polls, given the challenges around mail-in voting and given the challenges around a disputed election.
That's right. There's plenty of avenues for disputes and I think it's going to take longer than normal to resolve all of those disputes. It took 35 days to resolve the election in 2000, for example.
It's a long time just for a hanging chad.
That's right.
Now, I should say that you have gone into much more detail in your written note about different election disputes. This can be a dispute at the state level. It can be a dispute at the national level and also around a scenario where no candidate receives a majority of electoral votes. So, you know, what we are trying to suggest here is that the challenges around this US election are heightened, not only because of COVID-19, but also just the way that people will be voting this time around. And that report, which was published on Tuesday, the 13th of October, 2020, titled US Election Delays, Disputes and Death, can be found on combankresearch.com.au. And Joe, 3 weeks time, it's going to get really interesting from here.
That's right. There's only 20 days, 1 hour, 40 minutes and 20 seconds to go. But who's counting?
Not that you're excited or anything.
No.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Belinda.
I'm sure we'll touch base on the election result very shortly. Thanks, Joe.
Thank you.